Could it be the new dawn on Refinitiv could be sealed by antitrust in as little as 3 months? All this and more in this week's Exchange Invest Weekly. A very fine good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Patrick Young, the founder of Exchange Invest, the daily newsletter of the Bourse business. And indeed, we lead this week with a very optimistic prognosis from the head of the Borsa Milan, part of the London Stock Exchange Group, reaffirming that the Borsa Milan is not up for sale for the time being. Raffaele Gerusalmi has said that he believes that the EU might actually be able to decide on antitrust in the LSE Refinitiv deal within a few months. Strikes me as highly optimistic. On the topic of highly optimistic things, the week began with news via Reuters that, according to a survey by a consultancy, 1,000 EU financial firms plan to open UK offices after Brexit. Gosh, that's a wake-up call, a wake-up memo, in fact, to the Ramona Flat Earthers. Who would have ever thought that folks in the EU27 might want to service the firms based in the world's most dynamic cosmopolitan financial centre, London and the UK. Over at Clearstream, they've agreed an interesting deal. They're going to acquire 51% of the UBS fund distribution platform Fond Centre AG. Very interesting, UBS remaining the minority shareholder at 49%, but nonetheless, Clearstream, a division of Deutsche Börse, demonstrating commercial acumen, where Euroclear is currently even more becalmed than usual due to shareholder issues. SEBI ended last week with the exciting news that they were going to exonerate Ravi Narayan and 8 others in the infamous NSE dark fibre co-location case. Good news all round for the executives and former executives who no longer have a stain on their character. At the same time, the Bank of England was threatening a lot of stains on, well, the pox on all your houses, effectively. They're going to use all manner of, in inverted commas, tools to scrap LIBOR. All those little incentives which are akin to a form of tension torture, rather like the medieval rack for a bank's balance sheet. Curious thing going back to that LSE story, only last weekend in the Sunday Telegraph, Jeremy Warner, their business columnist, had huge concerns that the EU is going to effectively take part in a backlash over the LSE's world-leading pretensions, arguing that they're going to twist their antitrust policies to make a political Brexit point. I can't say it would really surprise me, but then again, if it stops LSEG being anchored to the de facto deadweight of Refinitiv, Margaret Vestager would ironically be doing London Stock Exchange Group and the UK a great favour. Of course, one of the big stories of the week was also about volume. The NSE, the National Stock Exchange of India, they've turned into the world's largest exchange in futures and options trading by contract. Of course, there's a lot of headlines on this topic without much consideration of value of contracts traded. Parishioners may recall the similar discussions when the COFEX was trading massive numbers of contracts out of Korea 20 years ago. All were valued to suit crazed punting housewives of Seoul and Busan, amongst others. The NSE are to be applauded for their volume growth, but obituaries for the CME cash generation powerhouse are wildly premature, even if volumes were somewhat static year on year. That said, there are obviously going to be concerns in the United States of America and the big, wide, advanced world, because it is clearly true that this is a great sign that Asia is rising. The volumes in small, emerging, and indeed large emerging countries, to wit China and India, demonstrate a sensational and interesting view of our world future. And of course, that worldview is tinged by the fact that this particular British and Irish correspondent happens to be looking and recording with only less than 10 days to go before Brexit, a point at which the EU27 will be less than 15% of the world's trade, and 85% plus of the world's trade will be outside of the European Union. Both of those ought to be worrying pointers for whether it's EU exchanges or indeed US exchanges in relation to how volumes have grown exponentially in emerging markets like India. It's certainly going to be a very, very exciting decade as the roaring 20s get going. News from Africa this week. Apparently, the Nigerian Stock Exchange demutualization is creeping ever closer. And of course, that's something that's going to be very exciting with the whole concept of Africa rising alongside Asia rising as this century continues. In earnings this week, Interactive Brokers Group missed their earning per share by 2 cents. Perhaps the issue of zero-fee trades are weighing on them, as they did indeed on the earnings at TD Ameritrade earlier in the week. Meanwhile, of course, it was the Davos Fest, where lots of people who don't really mean much to the world but think that they're wildly important all gathered together, having flown in by private jet and spent a small fortune and left their huge carbon footprint behind so that they can quaff lots of imported goods and therefore worry about what the proles should be doing with the world in order to save it from climate change. To that end, there was an interesting story in Quartz who reported on a panel discussing should the New York Stock Exchange try to slow climate change. Frankly, Stacey Cunningham, the doyen of the New York Stock Exchange, its president, hit the nail on the head, and I quote, "Investors should have the right to choose. It's a really slippery slope if we start to decide for them what opportunities they should have access to." Oh, joy. If this entirely common sense position earned Stacey the Greta death stare, then kudos to Stacey Cunningham. There were many people who were concerned in their day about the introduction of products such as electricity. And indeed, in the case of electricity, that didn't stop New York Stock Exchange allowing investors to decide on companies led by Edison and Tesla. The NYSE itself was absolutely tacit, so long as their accounts and the other related regulations were up to date. Nowadays, it makes total sense to let the market decide, as ultimately neither government nor some après-ski party, no matter how many billionaires are present, will come up with all the answers. Had we run our exchanges on popular Malthusian constraints, it is fair to say the unregulated, broadly rule-free coffee shops would have remained the more popular bourses. Exchange Invest is the daily must-read by the most influential figures operating the world's best markets. We invite you to join the exclusive group of Bourse bosses and other C-suite executives who make Exchange Invest the exchange of information, their daily business intelligence guide to markets the world over. Exchange Invest is available to subscribers at $200 per user, per year or currency equivalent. You can get more details at exchangeinvest.com or email me, patrick@derivativesvision.com. In People News this week, we lost an SEC commissioner. Commissioner Jackson is leaving the Democratic mantle to return to law school and his teaching position. That opens an interesting opportunity for perhaps a slightly more conservative tilt to the SEC going forward. We wish him all well. As I mentioned previously, a group of 9 folks, amongst others Ravi Narain, have been exonerated by SEBI in the case of the algo trading fiasco and the co-location issues. Along with Ravi, former execs exonerated include Senior VP Operations, Mr. Nanda Kumar, co-location head Jagdish Joshi, CTOs Muralidharan and Ravi Apt, while amongst the current officials, the COO of Trading, Mayur Sindwad, CTO of Projects, Sankarsan Banerjee, the CTO Operations, G. Shenoy, and the VP of Regulations, Subrat Lala. All the best to all of them, duly exonerated by what has gone on, and all the best to Anna Kuznetsova. She's standing down from the executive board of the Moscow Exchange, and she's going to be replaced by Igor Marich, who will see increased responsibilities, and there will be no additional person on the executive board of the Moscow Exchange. Elsewhere, exciting news. It looks as if at last we're going to see arise Lord Spencer. In fact, it'll probably be Baron Spencer. The TP ICAP founder, the man who recently sold Nex and still is the largest individual shareholder of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Group, Michael Spencer. He looks to be in line to be handed a seat in the upper house of the UK Parliament, the House of Lords. As I've often remarked, it remains a travesty that the UK House of Lords has not already embraced the finest City of London entrepreneur of his generation, particularly given Michael's remarkable reversal of the financial fortunes of the Conservative Party during their Blair-era slump when he was Treasurer. He turned an £8 million deficit into a surplus of £75 million between 2007 and 2010, And that was against, of course, ladies and gentlemen, the backdrop of the financial crisis. Had the economy kept growing during 2008 and 2009, who knows what that anyway sensational number achieved by Michael Spencer as Treasurer might have been. Given the exoneration of ICAP over LIBOR, there are no impediments to the ennoblement of Michael Spencer, no matter what the woke end of the British civil service might think. This is excellent news, and I'm delighted for Michael on his richly deserved elevation to the House of Lords, where he will be a wise steward on matters of state, and particularly our parish and financial markets. Elsewhere, big retirement news of the week. We had two interesting stepping downs, one after 20 years of unbelievably distinguished service. Vice Chairman Charles Vice, the man who was actually part of the Continental Power Exchange that was taken over by a man no one in the parish knew at that point in time, one Geoffrey Sprecher. Charles Chuck Vice has played a key role building the remarkable ICE empire during its two decades in business, and we wish him every success in the future. Meanwhile, over in Canada, the Ontario Securities Commission Chair and CEO Maureen Jensen is stepping down 10 months before her term is scheduled to end. OSC Vice Chair Grant Vingo will take over as acting chair while a search is undertaken for Jensen's replacement. In 2019, of course, Jensen stated she wanted a war on red tape and a simplification of regulation. At that time, instead of applauding her common sense, I must apologise to the parish. I ought to have realised she was probably doomed, particularly in the land of the maple leaf wokesters. Over at the Swiss Stock Exchange, quite interesting, three more executives have left their $100 million blockchain project. Quite what's going on the inside, nobody knows, because it's not, of course, been on an immutable ledger. And finally this week, in terms of staffing news within the parish or around it, Xavier Rollet, he has only lasted barely a year in the role as chief executive of the massive hedge fund CQS. Quite interesting, didn't wonder why he's stepping down. Congratulations at the same time to Serge Harry, a parishioner who was CFO at CQS at Xavier's instigation. He is being elevated to deputy chief executive.
Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast.
In regulation news this week, the Georgian Parliament have passed a derivatives law supported by the EBRD. Hurrah! It's a derivatives world, and Georgia will soon be another country in the United Nations of Derivatives. Technology news, the highlight of the week was the Nasdaq Tech Trends Survey for 2020, another interesting and, entirely to be applauded, succinct report from Nasdaq, outlining some useful tech nuggets to ponder in the year ahead. It's a tough call to do these reports year in, year out, especially when your tech vendor business has gone from somewhat niche to a major entity itself within a multi-billion dollar entity. Elsewhere, in India, the Power Exchange of India have upgraded their trading platform. Sounds like a wonderful piece of technology kit. However, as an Anglophone, I must say I'm a little bit concerned about the branding. Is Pratyay really an appropriate name for a trading system? Perhaps it means something in India that we're not understanding in the English-speaking world. Over in product news, ladies and gentlemen, one interesting snippet of product information. Curiously, Reuters published some proposed ICE Merban contract specs on Wednesday afternoon of this week, and then all of a sudden overnight the links seem to have gone dead. Nobody quite knows why, and it doesn't seem to have anything to do with ICE either. So here's an excerpt of what they published. As always, it should of course be subject to every form of regulatory permission proviso, and the good folks of the Abu Dhabi Global Markets will decide what is the best contract in due course. I quote, ICE also plans to add price spreads against other established crude futures contracts such as Merban Brent and Merban WTI, and also introduce an alternative delivery procedure to facilitate trading, a source with knowledge of the matter said. Buyers and sellers are matched after the contract expires, and if they agree to deliver to an alternative location or deliver an alternative grade, the delivery procedure becomes a bilateral agreement and the exchange exits the process. The contract spec itself seems, well, pretty plain vanilla and logical compared to other similar markets in the world. It's a 1,000 barrels per lot contract. 1 cent trading price quotation, 1 cent settlement price quotation, both in US dollars. Last trading day will be the last business day of the second month preceding delivery. Final settlement price, Singapore marker price on the last trading day, and this will form the exchange delivery settlement price, which will be the basis for physical delivery. Daily marker prices will be published at 4:30 p.m. Singapore time, so that's 8:30 GMT, and 4:30 p.m. London time. No London marker price on the last trading day each month. Daily settlement, volume weighted average price of trades between 7:28 and 7:30 p.m. London time. Looking at 22 hours per day of trading, that's going to be Monday to Friday as proposed, 1 a.m. to 11 p.m. London time. So it's obviously not going to incorporate quite the exactitude of the Abu Dhabi working week, which is usually Sunday to Thursday inclusive. Physical delivery, delivery of Murban crude oil at the Abu Dhabi National Oil Company's terminal at UAE Fujairah on a free onboard basis onto buyer's vessel during the delivery month. There will be up to 48 consecutive contract months. Very interesting. We'll see how that develops. And indeed, hopefully, at some stage, the draft will reappear on Reuters or some other news service. And finally, for this week's bulletin of the Exchange Invest Weekly, crowdfunding is expected to catalyze the capital market, according to Bhutan's national newspaper. Ladies and gentlemen, at this juncture, the news that the Royal Securities Exchange of Bhutan is going to be able to provide alternative financing via a digital crowdfunding platform must, if nothing else, demonstrate just how global crowdfunding has become in less than a decade. On that note, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back on Monday with the Exchange Invest Daily Newsletter for all our subscribers across the world. My name is Patrick L. Young. Have a great week in markets. This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.